Welcome to the Banker Midweek, your weekly look at what the industry is talking about, offering information bankers like you need to know. Hello and welcome to the Banker Podcast. We might still be the midweek. We might be something new very soon, but we'll find out. One of these days we'll have a new announcement for our podcast. But I am Liz Lumley of the Banker, and the Banker Podcast is our weekly sit down with what is happening now, what the industry is chatting about, and what bankers like you need to know. All of these things influence current and future stories on TheBanker.com. So this week, my guest is Sarah Kajanski, the newly appointed CEO of FinTech Wales. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. I think it's good to be back. Didn't we do one of these at Money 2020?
We did. We did.
Previous life.
readers of The Banker might have seen Sarah's byline on some stories as well. So you are an official friend of The Banker. So when I saw your new appointment, I thought we need to get you on ASAP.
Well, thank you very much. It's very exciting.
Excellent. So I wanted to start off a little bit with a topic which is evergreen. So last week was International Women's Day, which I want to say for the record, I'm not anti-International Women's Day. But someone commented that it was a girl boss Christmas on social media, which I thought was kind of slightly funny. But the day happened, the industry was reminded yet again that the needle has barely moved in terms of funding for female founders in a decade. And last week also saw the Sexism in the City report, which will be out on the Banker website today, which has even more depressing statistics. There were a few people that commented. I think this is some of the stuff that came out of this report were hiring managers offered male workers wages nearly double those of female workers when controlling for recruiters' biases. Salary offers to men were 41% higher than to equally qualified women. I think this is actually from a report which came out in the U.S. as well. When assessing discrimination in companies' pay structures, the research reveals that the entire 20% payment gap arises from systemic discrimination, as employees themselves did not engage in direct discriminatory behavior. So as we all know, this is about culture. So I wrote a blog post about it, which I'll go into in a little bit. But it caused a bit of a stir on social media. It was a bit of a surprise to me because I write about these things a lot. But I want to talk to you first, Sarah. But how did you celebrate International Women's Day?
Well, so because of my new role, I kind of wasn't involved in the planning of everything, but I ended up going to attending two lovely events. So we at FinTech Wales had an event on the 7th of March with some of our partners, including Lloyds Bank and Alacrity Foundation. And we had 300 women in a room listening to some amazing inspirational speakers, two of whom were firefighters who had just casually trekked to Antarctica in 53 days. So it was some really inspiring stories. And then on International Women's Day, I attended at CCR, which is the Cardiff Capital Region's authority event, listening to some fantastic women. These events were brilliant, and I always love hearing inspirational speakers. Mm. What I don't love is token gestures. Mm. So the event we organized on the Thursday is part of an organization or an initiative, I suppose is the right word, called She Who. And we, as a group of partners, plan to continue holding events throughout the year that are designed to, encourage women to enter the world of entrepreneurship, to start businesses, to advocate for themselves. So I think that's a long way of saying that my issue with International Women's Day is an issue that a lot of people have with International Women's Day is the tokenism. Mm. Even worse when people are handing you pink cakes or
that little heart gesture people were doing. Mm. It looks like women are under sort of house arrest and they're like signaling to be rescued. Please.
I mean, I think the point is, and anybody who knows me or has heard me before knows exactly where I stand on this. Mm. And one of the sort of non-executive hats I wear is I work with the Women in VC Europe Committee, And we are an organization that is fighting to get greater gender representation and for women in the VC industry, to get those women more money, to get them the jobs they deserve. From that, our aim is, of course, that, not of course, but for those who know, that will trickle down into female founders because more diverse investors are more likely to invest in more diverse teams. And so that's our strategy. But there's no need for me to say, you know, it's an ongoing problem. It's persistent. One day of balloons is not going to solve it.
I know. I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I wrote this piece, which said, please save me from the women in breakfast. And, you know, I just wanted to like maybe say a few things. It is hard. I mean, sometimes people pick out different things from stuff you write. And I think ultimately the responsibility for communication lies with the author to communicate effectively. So I just, I'm not anti-breakfast. For those of you who have DM'd me to say how much you like breakfast, I had breakfast this morning with Broadridge. I'm not anti women meeting with each other and talking. And I think, you know, these stories do need to be told. And, you know, we've been on the same panel for these things. We've told our own stories. We've heard stories. I've been to these events and heard very inspirational speakers, you know, outside of some women that advise younger women to play video games, which did actually happen. But what struck me was this one particular event I'd gone to, you know, 8:15 in the morning, not on the main stage. And the title was something like, you know, like helping women move the needle. So it was a very fix the women type of topic. And it came out the week after the Ann Bowden's task force report, looking at you know women leaders and funding women. And you know I've spent a bit of time in the VC world and the startup world, and the fact that the numbers haven't changed at all just made me really angry. You know, I know I've met. And I'm sorry to say it is a lot of men and a lot of women buy into the structure as well that, you know, claim female founders don't exist. I've had that said to me, to my face, female founders do not exist. There was someone, a well-known male VC did one of the many comments on LinkedIn on my post said, the way women can get more money is to just found more companies, which again is, I think, in that bucket of female founders don't exist. I've had, you know, some of the most ridiculous assumptions about women in leadership and women in entrepreneurship. I want to see those ideas challenged in a really prime time slot, not in a room at 8 o'clock in the morning with people preaching to the choir. That's what made me angry about that. Not that I don't want these conversations to be had. I want them to be more prominent. I want them to be, because the needle hasn't moved.
I was going to say, without wanting to divert attention from your brilliant piece, which did get an amazing, amazing amount of traction for very good reason, because it made points that just aren't made often enough. The CEO of WVC, the brilliant Sophie Winwood, wrote a piece that was published in Sifted.
Excellent, excellent piece.
All the ways you're wrong about women in VC. And that was prompted by a piece that was published the day before International Women's Day. It was sort of an interview with, rather than an op-ed, but with a very prominent London VC who basically said it's too expensive to hire women because they don't have enough talent and they've got to come from America. We don't have any in Europe. And, you know, to be fair, it was a piece, it was an interview. You never know what context some of those quotes were given in. You know, I will say, I read it and it did make me angry, and that's why we worked on the comeback piece. But these assumptions just, I mean, that's why the piece is called All the Ways You're Wrong About Women in VC. It's just, these are people, nobody challenges assumptions.
Like, yes.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
They should be challenged.
They should be challenged. They very much, some of these people have a lot of money and they control the purse strings. It's the culture and it's the systemic discrimination that needs to be changed. Very much, very much so. Anyway, moving on.
We could do this all day.
We could be here for hours. But I wanted to talk a little bit about your new role. So you're now CEO of FinTech Wales. I always like to ask people what they did on their first day in the job. So what did you do?
Well, I had a first day that will never top any other first day I ever have again. I got up at 6:30 a.m. And I went to the London Stock Exchange. Ooh. And FinTech Wales opened the London Stock Exchange. So my first day was the 1st of March, which is for, well, your Welsh listeners will know this, but for those who aren't Welsh, it's St. David's Day, which is the patron saint of Wales. So we opened the London Stock Exchange alongside the Secretary of State for Wales, which was an amazing experience. And we had a load of our members along with us in the room. I don't know if anybody's ever been to one of these, but they put on an amazing breakfast. We had, you know, some amazing speeches. So it was really, really fantastic. And then I went away and I did a little bit of work. And then in the evening, I was invited to the St. David's Day Gala at the Guildhall, which, wow, again, people haven't been to the Guildhall. It is the most beautiful room to have a dinner in. Spectacular food. You know, wonderful Welsh choirs. So yeah, the following Monday was somewhat quieter. I will say that as first days go, it was an amazing, amazing experience. Mm. But that is not what every day is like in my role, I'm assured.
A lot of listeners know that I call London the global hub of fintech. But why is it important to have regional hubs around the country?
I mean, you know, the obvious answer to this is the United Kingdom is, you know, one entity, and we need prosperity and we need wealth and we need, you know, regeneration to happen outside of London. You can't have, you know, a country or an entity that only has one city that's generating, contributing to the economy. That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, that's the obvious answer. You need to spread prosperity across the United Kingdom. But the other answer, I think, is more feeds back into my background working in, you know, product development and product market fit. And that is, people with different backgrounds have different perspectives, mm-hmm, and they have different problems that need solving. So if you have spent your entire life in London or perhaps your entire career in London, then my belief is that you have a certain perspective on the most important problems that need solving, the most important issues out there, and indeed, you know, the ways in which they can be solved. But that doesn't apply to the majority of the people in, you know, in this case, in the United Kingdom. So I firmly believe that we need centres of industry, not just fintech, but in my case, obviously fintech, across the United Kingdom to make sure we're actually solving people who don't live in London's problems. People who live in these places have different perspectives. They have different life experiences. They, you know, they experience different problems. They see different solutions. And I just think, you know, regional fintech hubs are vital to having a creative, constantly developing, constantly evolving national fintech industry.
Mm. So what is from the other end? I mean, what does Wales offer the rest of the UK?
Well, other than Welsh cakes, Shirley Bassey and Tom Jones, the Welsh fintech community is, well, it's a community. The Welsh fintech industry sort of is a very close-knit community, which I don't think you necessarily get elsewhere. And the reason that's important is because we have, as a lot of people who listen to this will know, kind of a well-established insurance industry, particularly here in Cardiff. We are home to Admiral. We have the comparison sites. Almost all of them are based out of here as well. But those big companies will go out of their way to help the ecosystem, to help smaller companies thrive, whether that's through time or financial resources. You know, we work with a lot of these larger companies and they will, you know, set up recruitment days for people who come through our coding academies. So, yeah, I think that community aspect is really, really important. Welsh people are very, very proud to be Welsh. And that means that they want Wales to succeed. So they will go out of their way to help somebody else who wants to succeed and thrive in Wales in a way that perhaps you don't see in other parts of the UK. And I think the other thing that, it sounds a little trite, but it's one of the many reasons I took this job, is the quality of life in Wales. So there are hugely successful businesses developed here and nobody had to work 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to do it. You know, you don't need that hustle. Mm. You can have that hustle if you want that hustle, but you don't need it. the way the ecosystem is set up here means that you can thrive, you can succeed as a business and a business owner and still have weekends. Mm-hmm. Not every weekend, of course, no founder has every weekend, but you can have weekends. And there is a commitment.
And
I guess,
family and friends
culture.
And, a dog,
you can do
a pet.
Yeah, exactly. The dog, we don't need, I mean, I'd love dog-friendly offices, but you don't need a dog-friendly office because you can be home in time to let your dog out. I think quality of life is the other thing that certainly has attracted a lot of international fintechs to Wales, and also a lot of founders who have, you know, lived in London, done the London thing, and want to come back here and experience that balance. Mm.
So before I ask you about your plans, I mean, someone else that we know Wales has offered the fintech industry is Anne Bowden, the founder of Starling Bank, is from Wales. And I guess Starling has an office in Cardiff as well. But this happened literally 20 minutes before we sat down to record this podcast. Starling Bank has appointed a new Group CEO, Raman Bhatia, who currently is the CEO of OVO Energy, and he is moving over to be the CEO of Starling. So since this was just announced minutes ago, please tell me all of your views, Sarah, about this new appointment. what do you think? I mean, they took a while to name the CEO, so there was some sort of headhunting going on, but it's interesting coming. I mean, I guess he also worked at other areas as well. I'm just looking at the very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he has experience at HSBC,
yes,
which is his financial services background, because I think it would be a little unusual, although not necessarily a bad thing, but it would be unusual to hire a CEO who would spend their entire career in the energy sector. Mm. So he does have experience in banking. The one thing I would say is he's got very big shoes to fill, or rather small shoes, as and as a wonderfully petite lady. To be clear, Starling Bank are one of our members here at FinTech Wales, and we couldn't be prouder to have them. And Anne Bowden has done amazing things, not only for Wales and digital banking, but also for women in this industry. I think I saw she's speaking at the UN today. talking about getting more women and more money to female-founded businesses. I think for Starling, it's going to be interesting to watch. I think obviously they had that first stage of their growth and they're ready now to scale. There's a lot of talk about IPOs. I have no inside knowledge or insight into that. But I think, you know, it's really good for them to have somebody permanent in the role that can now take the reins and start, you know, moving Starling Bank into the next phase of its development and its growth, really.
Mm, yeah, no, interesting to watch to see how he takes the bank forward. So let's go to our last few questions. What are your plans for FinTech Wales?
Oh, I have so many plans. I mean, the number one priority for us is we're a membership organisation, so it's to continue supporting our members. We need to deliver value to our members. Wales is suffering in the same way as a lot of parts of the world. Think the economic climate and the business climate is difficult. One of my focuses is on helping our members continue to scale. And that is to continue to build on the great foundations that were laid by my predecessor to ensure that we get investing and funding flowing into Wales. Mm-hmm. I have various thoughts about how we do that, but that as a priority, I'm very happy to say publicly. And the other one is skills and talent. You know, we have a great reputation here for providing programs and coding academies, particularly to people who are underemployed, to help get into the digital industries, to the fintech industry. And again, especially given the current climate, that's something that we're really going to try and develop this year. And we do that working with our partners to make sure that the skills and talents offerings we have will result in people who have the skills that the employers and our members need. So it works hand in hand. We deliver, you know, training programs and academies that qualify people for roles that our members have open. So it really, we work hand in hand.
So, but earlier you mentioned a lot of people like Wales for the quality of life there, and I've spoiler alert, so to full disclosure to the audience, I know Sarah quite well, and I know that you like a good walk. So what would you say are some of your favorite walks in the region, and ones that preferably end in a pub?
I have to say, when this question came through, I was like, it's almost like Liz knows me. My three areas of expertise are long distance hikes in the United Kingdom, fintech, and somewhere good for lunch on the way. So I live in South Wales. I've spent a lot of time here as I was growing up. My mum's based here. And there is a, you could call it a hill, a peak, a mountain, depending on your kind of energy levels, called Skirrid, which is a fantastic walk. You have amazing views over South Wales. And then for refreshments nearby, there's the most fantastic pub called The Crown at Pantygethly, which is just north of Abergavenny. We also have the Walnut Tree, which is a Michelin-starred restaurant. Sidebar, if I'm going to advertise Wales, I should say that Wales has quite a lot of Michelin-star restaurants, and Abergavenny in particular is a real foodie hub. So if you're not up for the walking, come to Abergavenny. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there is a place called Rosyllie Beach, over on the other coast. And it is, if I showed you pictures of this beach in the summer, you would believe it was the Caribbean. It is the most gorgeous, incredibly long stretch of pure white sand. And you can go along the beach, you can do a beach walk, or you can go up the top and go over the cliffs. I really like it because I tend to go up over the cliffs, and there's lots of old history up there. There's things sort of called like the bone caves. So, you know, if that's your bag. And then there's plenty of pubs around there. I can't remember one off the top of my head. Probably because I've been to too many.
FinTech founders, take note. Anyway, thank you, Sarah, so much for joining us on the podcast this week.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Banker Midweek, part of the portfolio of podcasts from the editorial team at The Banker, available on thebanker.com and wherever you get your podcast fix. Search on The Banker Podcasts to listen to more.